Right now on VFN TV, Chip and Joanna Gaines. You've seen their program called Fixer Upper? Well, today is all about them in Waco, Texas, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
He said the seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. Does it look like Tomahawk missiles in Syria? Does it look like Moab bombs in Afghanistan? Does it look like the carrier group right off the coast of North Korea? Of course, a lot of people who liked the status quo and people who were for aborting children, for funding Planned Parenthood, for befriending the enemies of Israel, they're upset right now. But the people that are for God, for Israel, for the country, for the Constitution, for Supreme Court justice that actually loves the Constitution and honors it, they're happy and for God.
They will shout, impeach, impeach, they say. But nay.
But we know that families and churches, not government officials, know best how to create a strong and loving community.
Saudi Arabia has always been keen to play its role in the region and in partnership with the U.S., so I think we are more than ready to cooperate with the United States on countering ISIS.
America is back again.
Mr. President, I appreciate the fact that you went to the Western Wall and you're the first acting president who's done that. The people of Israel applaud you for it.
Israelis have experienced firsthand the hatred and terror of radical violence. Israelis are murdered by terrorists wielding knives and bombs. Hamas and Hezbollah launch rockets into Israeli communities where school children have to be trained to hear the sirens and to run to the bomb shelter. With fear, but with speed, not with Donald J. Trump.
God sent me here as a prophet to say to you, God is about to give world transfer in these last days. And you need to believe it.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting
Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kolaszewski. But today we're going to be so packed with Jeff and Joanna Gaines. They have a program called Fixer Upper on HGTV. It's a great program where they come in, they pick the worst looking house in a nice neighborhood, and they begin to fix it up. And it's amazing what they could do with properties in Waco, Texas. I think single-handedly they're turning over the entire community. But first, let's hear about Chip and Joanna is their name, and let's find out about their love story and how they met. This is Chip and Joanna Gaines.
We met in 2001. And, you know, I think it's funny because we were polar opposites.
Yeah. I'm a white person. She's a young lady of color. And so, I mean, honestly, the differences didn't stop there. I mean, you know, we had been brought up in very similar environments. Our parents were both believers, brought up in the church, I'd say is a common way to say that, middle class to some extent. But other than that, I mean, my parents were fairly liberal when it came to, you know, hey, go out on your bike and drive around in the neighborhood for hours. And her parents were like, go out in the backyard, but only as long as you have bubble tape completely around your head, neck, and vital organs. And so obviously when that all came together and we bought our first house together after we were dating for a few months, and then we moved in together, which is biblically inappropriate, and we would not suggest that.
What?
Babe, Chip, just tell them the story.
The story is we met in 01, and Chip liked me a whole lot.
Yeah,
he kind of scared me. I thought he was somewhat of a stalker. But then I realized he had a really good heart. We dated for a year, and he proposed. We were married a year and a half later. No, we were married for a year.
Baby, you're awful at our love story. Listen, our love story is pretty simple. She saw me. She was completely enamored, for obvious reasons. And I came over to her, and I said, listen, what is your sister doing later? And she said, oh, my sister's married. And I said, well, then, fair enough. What are you doing later? And she said, I have no plans because I haven't dated anyone in like 18 years. And I said, well, you're in for the ride of your life, young lady. Are you ready to pony up? And she said, I don't even know what that means, but let's do it. And so the next thing you know, we had 4 children. And now we're writing basically marriage seminars. We speak on marriage and love, love making.
Our short love story, our short story is that we met each other in 2001. We were married in 2003. And from the beginning, I think it was just a fun kind of roller coaster. I was a safe, kind of overprotected child. And Chip was this rowdy, kind of risky guy. And so if you can imagine those two worlds colliding, it was very interesting. But somehow we figured out a way to make that work and have fun with it.
Sure. And I think the one piece of advice that I'd give myself, if I could go back in time and tell myself some piece of advice that would help our marriage, to be honest, it was just the idea that when I learned how to embrace Joanna for who she is and really support her all the way, I feel like that was a real light bulb moment for me in my relationship with her. And ironically, I think that it was back and forth, you know, as I really enveloped this concept of I'm going to support her and love her and fight for her regardless. I feel like that opened your heart to be able to reciprocate, you know.
That's the funniest couple right there. There couldn't be more opposites, but yet they're so supportive of each other. Did you know that they both know the Lord? They're both their Christians. As a matter of fact, here is their testimony on I Am Second.
The shows I was always drawn to when I was younger were the ones where you'd have this really nerdy character that kind of hid in the background. And then you have this kind of jock everyone loved, most popular guy in school. And he sees this person, this girl who looks scared and who definitely isn't trying to get any attention on herself. And he sees the potential in her. And somehow he uncovers this whole new identity for this girl. It's hard. Favorite thing about Chip. If you give Chip a boundary, he's gonna break that boundary. If you give him a rule, he's not going to follow it. And if you tell him he can't go past this line, put his toe over it.
Joanna is like the purest, most stable person I've ever met.
I like safety. I like knowing what's coming. I don't want to be surprised. I don't know if we would have dated in college if we would have known each other.
My wife is a bit of a wallflower. You know, I joke with her pretty publicly that she was almost awkward when we first met.
You know, he always jokes I'm the guy in the relationship. Because when he wants to talk and dig, I don't want to talk. I just want to eat my fries.
I would have been the guy on a horseback riding off into the wilderness. I mean, that's who I sort of was by nature. And Joe could not be more opposite than that.
Fear and failure doesn't even cross his mind. He doesn't let that even go through one ear and out the other.
The little voice in your ear that talks when you're being quiet, my little voice tells me how handsome I am, tells me how funny I am, tells me how rich I'm going to be. You know, it's just constantly talking.
You can't censor Chip.
I used to drive my truck, and I would play a little game with myself to see how out of gas I could get without, in fact, running completely out of gas. And she was like, why would anybody want to play that?
For someone who is a rule follower to a T, it's an adventure.
I think, like, loving somebody is top roll down, James Dean and whomever, flying through the mountains, going too fast, reckless. And your idea was, no, bubble tape. Yeah. Sitting around.
Wrapped up.
Eating church's chicken.
If I didn't have Chip Gaines in my life, I'd still be dreaming in my head, but not acting out on any of that, not living it out. You pushed me. You push me out of my comfort zone. I like comfortable. I like predictable. Mm-hmm. And you push me.
Am I any of those?
No.
Not comfortable or predictable?
You're comfortable in that you're consistent in just who you are as Chip. But you're definitely not predictable.
I think that's one of the reasons that I love her like I do. I mean, I feel like she knows me in a way that has caused me to stop acting. You know, I feel like I've really been an actor. I've been a character my whole life. I've always tried to prove something to someone. Do the microphone thing that makes me feel more comfortable. Remember the time that I came home from that guy's trip in East Texas? Do I look fat?
Just make sure your jeans aren't too tight. You know what I mean?
Do I look comfortable?
No, your jeans are real tight right there. Just like that.
When I caught her, I finally felt content for the first time in my life. I felt like I could be exactly who I was.
Jeez. Mama. Showing some skin.
I see that. That's interesting. I have learned so much about order and structure and processes through my wife. And God is all of those things to me now. But at the beginning, God was just chaotic to me. He was wild. He was untamed. He was unruly. And I like that.
But God had a funny way of bringing me Chip to almost have this reality of what it's like to follow Christ, which is a lot of the things are going to push you to a place of discomfort. A lot of things are going to push you to a place of freaking out. It takes someone who's externally
processes, yeah.
Because it helps me get it out there, because it's healthier to be out there than it is just let it all kind of play in my mind. I don't want to be in the box anymore. I don't want to play it safe, because where the impact is over here on the other side.
You were like a flower in desperate need of water. You blossomed in a way that was really fascinating to watch.
I was made for a reason, and I need to let whatever God has created me for, that needs to be known. I don't need to stay hidden. My walk with God when I was little and all the way up until like my 20s was always, if you play by the rules, you'll be blessed. But then I met Chip, and I feel like now it's when you take a step out in faith, when it makes absolutely no sense, I think that's where the greater reward is. There's no telling where that will take you. My name is Joanna Gaines, and I am second.
And I'm Chip Gaines, and I am second. That was legit.
I don't know.
That's such a beautiful, beautiful couple. And their testimony is just so sincere and just blesses his heart. Listen, we're going to come back from this break and we're going to hear Chip and Joanna Gaines speaking at a Texas Builders Conference as they're sharing their life story, but also talking about, you know, how they started their business. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFNTV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Today, we're just dedicating our program to a wonderful couple, Chip and Joanna Gaines, who's out of Waco, Texas, and they have a program called
Fixer Upper.
Fixer Upper. Yep. If you haven't seen that yet, it's just watching them banter back and forth and all that. And they were just recently at the Texas Builders Conference, mm-hmm. Steve. And in that conference, they got a chance to share their story. And they also answered some questions, a mm-hmm. Q&A. We're not going to be able to make available to you the Q&A session, but if you're planning on starting a business, they answer some great questions about branding and things like that. We're going to make that available to you on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. But first, we want to hear a little bit more because they get more detail. It's not as pampered up as much about telling their story, and it's really great. It's funny. They're on a stage. This is the Builders Conference in Texas. This is Chip and Joanna Gaines. Check it out.
First of all, we're excited about being here. I mean, this is really what we do. All of you in this group, we all kind of have really the same story. I think even last night when Chip was playing in the washer tournament, we met a lot of husband and wife, just partners. And so, you know, we just love being in this industry, just helping communities one project at a time. So
we left and we literally were like, those are our people. You know, we've gotten into the rat race a little bit, if you will, to where we do a few of these a quarter. And, you know, sometimes they fit and sometimes they don't. But last night we really just wanted to express a very sincere thankful heart and a place of gratitude for each and every one of you, because you really are our kind of people.
So Chip and I met after Baylor. Chip went to Baylor, and while he was a college student, he started getting into the idea of real estate, flipping houses. And I was actually working for my father. He had an automotive store. So for 10 years, I was kind of his accountant, bookkeeper. And we end up meeting at my dad's Firestone store. Chip was a customer. And I had done some local commercials for my dad. So right when Chip walked in, as only Chip can do, he
and
was...
like Megan, she was a fox. I mean it. I mean, on camera, even back in her early 20s when she really didn't know a whole lot about the business or the industry, I mean, she was easy to look at.
Thanks, Chip. That's awesome. So I went to school for broadcast journalism. I always wanted to do something in television. Well, when I met Chip, he was just an interesting guy because he was such a risk taker. Everything he looked at, whether it be a home or an automobile, it was an investment. He thought, hey, this is undervalued. We'll put some value in it. We'll sell it for this. So while we were dating, he would just show me all these properties he was working on. And I thought the guy was a freak because the things he would buy, I'd look at it and go, what's wrong with you? He scared my parents. He scared my friends. But through it all, I started realizing he's got some really good instincts, and when you can see past the obvious, there's actually a lot of potential.
Wait, see past the obvious in me? But, or are you talking about the properties?
That was subtle, and you guys got it. You're good.
So mean-spirited.
Kind.
They cut and paste a lot of her mean-spiritedness out of the show. She looks like a good Christian woman on television.
Oh, my. So we get married in 2003, and I remember, you know, even on our honeymoon, I remember telling Chip, hey, when I was working for my dad, I had always had this dream of owning my own business, whether that be a home decor store or a bakery. The only issue was that I'd never baked for more than like 6 people, and I'd never done anything design related. And I remember Chip, even on our honeymoon, was just kind of pushing me towards that dream, saying, hey, if you're going to do something, now's the time to do it. So I started getting that wind at my back and thinking about that. So we're on this 2-week honeymoon, and Chip had decided when we get home, we're going to stay in one of his rental properties that didn't, he decided not to lease it. And we were going to go in and fix it up, and it'd be our first fixer-upper together. He's not really a details guy, so when we get back from our honeymoon, he'd forgotten to do a few things with the house. There was no electricity for several weeks, and it was July. And there were some college athletes in the house before that had like 5 animals. So if you can imagine the smell when we walk in, I remember it was like 8 o'clock at night. We had just been on this amazing, dreamy honeymoon. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a good, dreamy life. And then he carries me across the threshold and this smell just hits me.
Has anybody here been to Cambodia? No. Nobody's been to Cambodia. Very, very similar smell. The humidity, very similar to the
carpet wonderful. Everywhere. So again, these athletes had like 5 animals, and I don't know if they ever let them out of the house. So that night, I was trying to be positive.
The refrigerator, maybe that's what you're thinking about.
Ground beef in the refrigerator that had sat there for a few weeks. So just every smell you could think of, and I'm sitting here being really sweet. And Chip says, "Hey, why don't we just lay out a pallet of towels on the floor?" And we'll just sleep on the carpet. We had nothing. Again, we didn't think through, oh, you need a mattress. You need nothing. So here we are on some towels that are laid over the carpet, and I'm laying there, and Chip is
We had tried to get one of those bedroom sets at the local furniture places, but neither of us had the credit to put it on, you know, any kind of a layaway program.
Spent it all on the honeymoon. So we're laying on the floor, and Chip is out cold, and I just start bawling. I'm like, this isn't good. And I was thinking, is this what my life is going to look like with this Chip Gaines guy? So I, as you can imagine, hit him, wake him up. And I said, we're out of here. I can't do this. The smell was just so bad. And so luckily we had his parents' like 1984 RV that barely ran in our front yard. So Chip drives us through this thing, and he doesn't realize that there's this big hill, which means don't cross here. He was going the wrong way. So he ends up going over this hill, and we realize all 4 of our tires were now off the ground. So now we're sitting, teetering on this hill and it's pouring rain. We didn't mention that part. Pouring rain. The graveyard is right here. And we, Chip gets out to try to plug in. And I mean, he's this close. So we don't plug in. We're now stuck where we're teetering. And if we move to the end, it bottoms out. So we were completely stuck. You want to share your side of that story?
No.
Okay. The next day, we end up having a friend of ours wheel us out. But that was the start of our first week of marriage together. And we decide, hey, we can do this. We start fixing up the house. At the same time, Chip kept encouraging me to go find a little building. Let's see if we can get it financed. And so I had been shopping around, and I found this small little building on Bosque. And we ended up deciding that's the one we're going to do. And at the time, I still had no idea what I was going to do with it. So we're fixing up this house. And we still joke that, till this day, it's one of our biggest arguments ever in that house. Our biggest argument was in that house. And for me, I had no idea, again, what I was doing from a design standpoint. So I was just really guessing. Every color, every theme I could think of, I was implementing in this house. We happened to be in the kitchen, and Chip was kind of smarting off to me. You can only imagine how that would go. And I remember having this 5-gallon bucket of primer, and he just kept going. And so for me to make him stop, I thought I'd just pick up the primer, slam it down, and he'd shut up. So I pick up the primer, slam it down. Well, all the primer decides to, I mean, I must have slammed it down really hard. It hits me in the face, the hair, the eyes, and it's running all down my face.
Really, it was like this is some of the things that we learned early in our marriage, were just how different we had been brought up. I mean, superficially, if you wrote it all down on a piece of paper, I mean, we were just almost identical. I mean, our parents were very similar, similar upbringings, even financially speaking, I would almost say, you know, just very, very similar circumstances. But in my family, we were all risk takers, kind of daredevils by nature. My mom was the type to where we would get out in the front yard and somebody'd skin a knee and she'd make a comment like, you know, rub some dirt on it, or we'd get in a pickle building a fort or a fence if I was working with Dad at the time, and she'd say, you know, boys, if we can get a man to the moon, you know, we can figure out these problems. Her parents, they sit in little vacuum bubble taped environments. My parents would try to figure out, they would play a game. Literally, Dad and Mom were driving down the road, back to the Chevy Chase thought in your mind, and my dad would see how far he could get the gas tank to empty before pulling in and getting it filled up with gas. Her dad, being an automotive guy, turns out, you know, who knows this unless you're an expert in automotive, but if you drive an automobile below a quarter of a tank, it's really bad for the fuel injector.
And what does this have to do with primer?
I was just telling him about how different our upbringings were.
Keeping you on track.
So where I came from, when you get in a fight with your significant other, in our case, it was my sibling or my mom and dad, whatever the deal is, and you drop a bucket of primer in a very aggressive, angry, you know, sinful way, in my opinion. And the primer comes out of the 5-gallon bucket and splashes you in the face. Like if you've seen these baseball players, you know, they'll be doing an interview and somebody will give them the whipped cream pie in the face. I mean, very similar to that. I mean, this is literally, falling off of her eyelashes and her mascara. In our deal, it's like, look, the Lord is clearly trying to tell you something. And maybe we should take a little time out. Process this information, maybe wait on the Lord for a second. I mean, I don't want to get overly spiritual here, but let's see what God's got for us in here. Joe, on the other hand, when something like that happens in their family, they go from this very peaceful, tranquil, beautiful environment, like it's sort of almost like you can imagine a yoga state of Zen, to like ninja warfare. And I'm this little white boy from, I grew up right down the street here. Cheek Sparger is my home turf. So I was a Colleyville boy. And so, I mean, a little white kid from the suburbs. And, you know, this gorgeous Asian starts, you know, shooting these wild roundhouse back handspring kicks to the face with the primer dripping off of her face. And I'm not kidding. I'm literally kind of like, I cannot believe that she got, I mean, madder and madder, like at me. Like I somehow had something to do with it. But as I swear to you guys, this is a true story. Like it was sort of like this slow motion, kind of like in the movie The Matrix, to where, you know, the bullets are shooting and he's able to do all these awesome moves. Well, I'm kind of doing these back bends, avoiding these roundhouse kicks to the head. And I literally am thinking, I can't hear what she's saying. She's kind of turned into this whoa. And I'm like, I love this woman. I mean, this is going to work. We're going to be famous, you know? So.
Cute. So we made it. We made it through that first fixer-upper.
True story. True story. It happened exactly that way.
So this, kind of. So that first year of marriage, we had done our first fixer-upper together, and then we finally opened up the little shop on Bosque that October. And for me, it was one of those things where I just felt like this is kind of my training ground. I mean, when customers would come in, I would have to listen to what they needed and modify because I didn't have any training for this. And Chip was really just my biggest support. He was there every day as he was in and out doing all of his real estate stuff. You're so distracting. I have to, like, do this.
I saw myself in this monitor and in this direction.
Don't look that way.
I look a lot thinner.
You do. I knew this was going to be a problem when we came out here. Where were we? So we open up the shop on Bosque. Chip is still doing his flips and his renovations, but I'd say around 2006, so 3-4 years into it, I am now pregnant with my second child, and I just felt like it was time to stay home. My babies were young. So we had decided to shut the shop down, and Chip's company at the time was named Trinity Properties, which was all the Baylor real estate, all the flip houses he had done. And so he was working in and out of the house, and I just remember still wanting to have that creative outlet. So I would have him bring in these plans and these blueprints, and I'd start implementing some unique design elements just to kind of have my little time with design, I guess, while the kids were on my lap and I was during nap time, I would start focusing on that. And I'd say in about 2006, 2007, we decided, what if we merge the idea of Magnolia and its design elements with Chip's construction and real estate expertise? And that's where we came up with Magnolia Homes. So we started doing that together, which I think we just both loved getting to work side by side. And what we had to realize early on was I had my strengths with the numbers, with staying on budget, you know, the more boring stuff. And Chip was really good at the vision, the big picture. And we realized that, hey, we want to go in the same direction here. But anytime we started kind of going like this, we realized that kind of would set us back. So early on.
This is so exciting to hear the foundation of this couple and how they started. When we get back from the break, we're going to pick up right where we left off. But first, we have this offer for you. Check it out.
Offer 2038, roadblocks to your blessings. We serve a good God who loves us and desires to bless us, to restore our lives from times that took away from our lives. He has plans to bless us and give us a future, but many times there are roadblocks that are stopping the blessings from coming into our lives. Imagine if you could identify those roadblocks and remove them from your life so that you live in continual blessings from the Lord. We want to send you this offer for a free gift of any amount. You can become a partner with VFN TV by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFN TV, that's 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2038, roadblocks to your blessings.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
have a daughter who is currently on active duty in the military. She has been put in charge of founding a youth group within the chapel setting, and the people there have been real resistive as far as fundraising events or some of the other ideas that she would like to implement. She was wondering where she would go to find the information that would make her superiors more comfortable in knowing what the parameters are.
First, of course, our website has a tremendous amount of information on this issue, but we also have a couple of lawyers at the American Center for Law and Justice that deal with issues of religious liberty and the military. And you're correct. These youth groups can meet. They can have the same rights as they would in private life. Let me get you in touch with our lawyers. Also encourage you to get your daughter to go to our website at ACLJ.org.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Michael is a realtor and author from Overland Park, Kansas. And the word service, Michael, that you wanted me to share is a word that I use, I think, every day. Because I think it really describes what I believe a leader should do and what a leader should be. I think a leader should be a servant, and I think that they should provide service for the people they lead. Again, because of my background, I would just say that if Jesus Christ were here today, and if we would ask him to define leadership, I believe he would define leadership by saying leadership is servanthood. He showed it in his life as an example. You see, where many people are involved with and enamored with titles, Jesus picked up a towel, washed his disciples' feet, served them, and said, "Do that for others." You see, he knew, and I know, and I want you to also know, that if you really want to influence people and make a difference in their lives, you don't do it by going top down and lording it over somebody and doing a power grab. You come alongside of them, add value to them, and serve them. The relationship is then begun to be connected, and you're going to be able to make a difference in their life.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are with Chip and Joanna Gaines, the Fixer Upper Couple out of Waco, Texas. And they're speaking at a Texas Builders Conference, sharing their own personal story. And it's very interesting, talking about she kind of went ninja on him. And she's like, "I love this woman." It's so cool to see kind of the background behind a couple like this. And they're touching so many folks in a positive way. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, let's go back and join them. This is Chip and Joanna Gaines with Fixer Upper at the Texas Conference, Builders Conference in Texas. Check it out.
The more boring stuff. And Chip was really good at the vision, the big picture. And we realized that, hey, we want to go in the same direction here. But anytime we started kind of going like this, we realized that kind of would set us back. So early on, we had to really define, this is what I do, this is what Chip does, so that we could work well together. And I feel like that's something we're always having to kind of go back to anytime we just feel like we're a little off track.
And I think just to interject real quick, I mean, one of the things that we always talk about when we refer to Magnolia Homes, which is this company that she's talking about that we sort of founded together, it preceded our kiddos. So it was sort of learning how to work together. It felt a lot like a kid. A lot of y'all with small businesses can relate. I mean, the late hours and the complicated circumstances, it never seems to be the same twice, you know? And so Joe and I both learned really early on. We have four actual babies, but we always joke that we have five babies because we had this business that preceded our firstborn, and we learned how to kind of operate in that universe, you know, what it looks like. And I mean, we can all relate to that who are parents. You know, sometimes you tag team who's going to wake up the next time to feed the baby or who's on diaper duty, and some of those similar correlations really affected our relationship as a couple, because that business really felt a lot like this mutual love of ours, and we both found out what we were good at. We found out how not to step on one another's toes as we were trying to build this thing together.
And when Chip was kind of describing the ninja kicks that I was back handspringing him with, it kind of reminded me...
Very athletic young lady.
A little bit of just what we were dealing with in 2007, 2008, just with the whole economy, with things that were coming our way. What we realized as a business is we had to continue to evolve. So I'd say in 2006 and 7, we were doing a lot of flip houses. But then by 2008, you know, the banks weren't lending as much money. And so for us, we had to evolve into something else to make it, which turned into renovating homes with clients. So that was the first time we had to really step in and realize, okay, we have to hold our clients' hands. This isn't a flip project, which those are easy because you just do whatever you want. You hope you end up staying on budget, make some money, and it's just really me and him.
Sure. We always joke, you know, the difference between remodeling and flipping houses is flipping houses, you've really got a budget that your boss, you know, everybody's always got a boss. It doesn't matter if you're self-employed or not. And in the flip universe, you know, the budget and the time constraints are really your boss. So you're answering to this budget, you're answering to this schedule. In the opposite end of that, I mean, you have an actual client who becomes your boss and you're having to figure out how to juggle. I mean, it really does feel like literally you've gone from juggling one or two balls to now you're juggling a third ball. You're trying to help them understand the budget portion, which sometimes they understand that better than others. You're also trying to help them with the schedule portion. They understand that better sometimes than others, but then you're also dealing with their preferences and their emotional interests, you know, if you will. I mean, when we got into this, we used to do just whatever we want, and then we would end up flipping the property, and we were always really amazed, kind of like we feel like to some extent about this show, how it touched people, how they really were interested, how they were really impressed with the service that we had provided. Well, with the client, you know, that's a day-to-day conversation. I mean, it's sort of like your kid when you see him, you know, your grandmother sees him after 6 months and he's sprouted out, but you didn't notice it because you saw it incrementally. I mean, when you see the dust and the dirt and all the bits and pieces, you know, it's difficult for a client to see the state of that house maybe two-thirds through the project and believe you that you're going to get it across the finish line. And we had to really learn and kind of adjust the way we thought through that experience.
And once I felt like we finally started getting it, Chip decides to throw another curveball in there, which he loves to do. He found 6 acres of land.
I wanted to become a developer.
All of a sudden, Chip wants to be a developer.
2009. think back
good timing.
To that. And don't think about it from y'all's perspective. I know that I'm not an idiot. I know that there are some very, very wealthy individuals in this room who, when they think of 2009 and they think about lines of credits and bankers, they thought, wow, you know, what an opportunity to go from doing $100 million in construction to just 20 or 30 million. You know, I mean, it's a good opportunity. Maybe you got to spend a little more time on the golf course. Maybe you got to spend some time, good quality time with the family at the lake. You know, this was back when Joe and I were barely making ends meet. So I literally looked myself in the mirror and I was like, I'm going to become a developer in 2009 and I'm going to show the entire world exactly, you know, who, what I'm made of.
Right.
Which was a bad,
that
turned out to be a bad idea.
So we, you know, we got our heads around the idea of redoing all the electrical and plumbing in these small 800 square foot houses. But when it came to streets, curbs and gutters and sewage and all this stuff, I mean, we were in over our heads.
Electrical and plumbing on a whole new level,
total
basically.
Different level. And so for us, you know, the thing that about Chip is he's always been pretty scrappy. So even though it got really, really hard, he would just figure out a way to make it work. And so even though it was really hard, we ended up making it through that development. We learned a lot about new construction. We learned a lot about development. We learned maybe we should just stick to renovations for a little bit. But we made it through, and really the development is just a really sweet development. It's kind of one of those testaments when we look back of just honestly God's grace on our life at that time. So during all that, even during the development, we still were renovating homes for clients and still flipping projects here and there. That's when we get the call in 2012 from a producer from a production company that had seen one of our flips on my blog, and she'd reached out, asked if we'd want a show together, and we kind of both thought, Chip honestly thought it was a scam, and he said, don't call her back, she's gonna ask for money and you're gonna, you know. I said, I don't think it was a scam.
About the same time, you know, you'd get these emails from these foreign countries, and they would always tell you that you had won a lottery or an inheritance for $50 million. And for some reason, because I'm an idiot, it sounded very similar to that. You know, I was like, wait a second, this is a scam. You know, we're going to get into this with this group, and next thing you know, they're going to tell us that we owe them $25,000 to get to the next phase of this process, you know. But anyway, in Joe's defense, she sniffed this one out, and it turned out to be legit.
So they come down, they film us for a little bit. Do we go into this part, or do we? How are we on time? Okay. So they film us for a 3-minute clip to show the network. And Chip at the time was really terrified of cameras. I never knew this. I thought because of how he was, he would end up caring.
And I'm so stupid. It's like when I go into things, I've got a really high self-esteem, a.k.a. slightly arrogant. And so, I mean, I thought when these folks were coming down, I was like, you will not believe. Wait till you see me. Wait till you see what I can do. And I kept telling Joe this, and I wasn't meaning it in a real sarcastic way. I was just like, babe, don't worry about it. Don't plan on anything. They'll shine the camera at me. I'll do this thing that, I'm not going to lie to you, is pretty special. Pretty special gift that I've got. I mean, you know, I remember back in high school, you know, some teacher would ask me to speak in an auditorium of about this many folks at literally Colleyville Elementary just down the road. And, I mean, you know, I would speak, and, you know, I'd have these adults and these teachers in stitches. So I just said, give me a couple minutes. Give me a couple minutes.
So that morning,
I'll get warmed up.
They come at 7 o'clock in the morning. I have 4 kids hanging on my legs. They're terrified of these strangers in our house.
They literally are all built like their mama, very bashful. So they're scared to death.
And I've got Chip there, you know, ready to shine. And so they're
going to do my thing.
Turn the camera on, and Chip doesn't say a word. So I'm looking at him like, come on,
it's such,
Chip, it's
such
your time.
It's such a big camera.
So now I'm just like, oh, shoot.
And it's got this little red beeping dot on the top of it. And there's this guy, if y'all have ever seen, it's called a boom mic. Some of these things that I've now learned in this industry, but it's a big stick with what appears to be a fairly, I mean, sort of like a record-breaking raccoon on the end of it. And every time that thing would come into my peripheral, you know, I mean, you...
He would.
And then they'd be like, okay, stop. Okay, listen, son, listen, no matter what, when the boom mic comes into the deal, it's just trying to catch your audio. We were losing you there for a second. Don't flinch, no matter what. And I was like, no way. I'm not going to flinch. There's nothing that could make me flinch. All right, Volkswagen, red light. Oh, shoot. And then the raccoon out of the corner, I would flinch again.
Flinching, so, I mean, sweating.
And I mean, for days, day after day after day, I was not beating this phobia of cameras.
So he ends up behind the camera. Now it's just the JoJo show and her 4 kids. And I'm looking at him like, I can't carry this. This isn't my deal.
Joe moving around the kitchen with the 4 babies.
And Chip is behind the camera.
I got into the tech of the TV business. I literally, Joe would be a camera operator, and he'd be working and filming Joe doing an actual scene. Hey, man, what does this button do?
Like a 5-year-old.
Is this wire? What's this wire connected to? What is this? This
is amazing. So our fourth day into it.
How much is this? How much is this? Is there any way we could buy some of these on eBay, maybe refurbish them and then sell them for a profit?
Yeah.
You interested in it? Here's my card.
Fourth day. The producer comes to us and says, hey, guys, I am not going to lie to you. We don't really have much. Is there anything either of you can do? He comes to us individually. He asks if there's something I can do to surprise Chip. And I was thinking something sentimental and sweet. He asked, don't tell him what it was. Chip, on the other hand, you never ask Chip to surprise me because, as you all have seen, he loves to do that. And when he gets permission, he goes with it. So Chip, I didn't know this, but during this time, we had just bought the farmhouse, and we were selling the house we were currently in. And so there was going to be a time about 6 months where we didn't have a place to live. Chip thought it'd be a really good idea to buy a houseboat for his family of 6 and let us live out on the lake for 6 months until our farm was done.
Right idea.
So when the producer asked him, he thought, hey, I'll expedite this process. He finds this boat on like eBay or something, buys it sight unseen. As you can only imagine.
It's bad news,
it's not
Charlie Brown.
Well.
Yeah. That thing showed up in Waco, Texas, and I remember we had Joe blindfolded.
I was blindfolded.
She had this little.
I thought it was going to be a picnic. I thought you were going to have this romantic picnic for
me. So we're at the lake. So she's kind of getting the idea, oh, this is going to be beautiful. It's going to be this really sentimental deal. And I've literally got beep, 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 beep. Backing up a monster, huge semi-truck, huge boat. We're dropping this thing in the lake to see if it's seaworthy for the first time in like a decade from this boat's perspective. So we're backing this thing up. We're trying to figure out all this complicated stuff. Well, Joe's blindfolded, and she's got this, bless her heart, she's got this like handwritten letter and things that we'd done and properties that we'd bought
and
sold.
Cute little framed
art. Was her idea of trying to get us a reality television show. That was her surprise that was going to change everything. And ow. And so so this boat, you know, back it up. And so we undo Joe's blindfold. And I mean, Joe, because she, you know, this has been years of dealing with this and preparing for experiences like this. And so I popped the thing off. And I remember I sort of invented this very insecure noise that I didn't even realize was in me. But when I opened the deal, because I knew I was in trouble, I mean, I could tell the boat was awful. I knew she was going to be mad. So we take it off and I go, ta-da. And I literally, you know, like a beaten puppy dog. And so I'm covering up and she's, you know, freaking out. And she literally looks at this poor semi guy who she refers to as Mr. Semi Truck Operator. Put that boat back on that trailer and take it back wherever it came from. So we'll speed this up because I think we're running out of time here. But anyway, long story short, we had a ball. We literally broke out of our shells. We forgot the cameras were there for a few minutes. All the boom mics dissolved into the background. Joe and I did what honestly Joe and I do, which was we walked around this boat, which was unique to us. I mean, that was definitely not our sweet spot, to say the least. But we started solving problems. We started getting people on the phone. I was wearing out the seller of this thing and blowing this poor guy up, and he's not here to defend himself, but he's a dirty, rotten scoundrel. And so, I mean, you guys feel free to look him up and get his side of the story. But so we're rocking and rolling. And so, I mean, literally, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. We're supposed to be here at this deal. I'd say 10:30. I take the blindfold off Joe. You can imagine 4:30 later that same afternoon on our last day. They're leaving today at this particular day at 8 o'clock that evening. And so it's 4:30 in the afternoon, and we've been rocking and rolling on this boat the whole entire day. So in our minds, we just blew our last day of filming. And so I hop off the boat and I reach up. At this point, Joe and I had sort of, you know, salvaged what was left of our marriage. And so she hops down, light as a feather. I kind of spun her around. Imagine sound of music, it's gorgeous. And so I sit her down, and I'm walking off with her kind of in the distance. And in the TV business, they call this a hero shot. You know, it's always Well, yeah, there you go. Let's go with Tom Cruise. He's always walking off. There's this big explosion in the background. And, of course, it doesn't affect him because he's awesome. So we're doing that kind of a deal. We're walking off into the sunset. And all of a sudden, the TV guy goes, it kind of looks at us. And I finally become conscious of this guy who's been following us around for now hours and hours. And I put my hands up just completely discouraged, completely defeated, because I honestly realized in a real sincere way that I just cost my beautiful wife and, of course, our family this opportunity to do this television show. And so I said, well, at least hopefully you got some good television, and in kind of a real smart aleck way. And this guy takes off this kit, kind of pushes stop, red beeping light turns off, and he puts his camera down and he goes, if we do our job, you just got yourself a reality television show. So for the first time in our lives, obviously in this experience, it just sort of dawned on us that if we could get to who we were, if we could get to our true passions, that true passion meant something to someone. You know, the more we faked and the more I stood there awkwardly, you know, the more difficult it was for us to really get in the rhythm. But when we finally started doing what meant something to us, which is we own a boat now, and how are we going to tackle this project together? And Joe got out of the I hate you and I hate this boat and I hate this boat operator, or, you know, semi truck operator. She got to the place like, hey, we're in a pickle and we've got to work this thing out together. And all those things kind of became a beautiful couple of minutes worth of footage. So
as you know, now we're in.
So you're looking at, that's just a beautiful story of a couple.
Yeah,
and their whole today's been dedicated to, you know, what God can do with a marriage, what
That's
God,
right.
God can do with the diverse personalities and coming together, and the Magnolia, I believe, Farms it is.
Magnolia Farms, Magnolia Market, yeah. Magnolia Homes. It's beautiful.
Bakery.
Yes, it's beautiful, yeah. Just to see how he pushed her in all of that, yeah. And she was just willing to get outside her comfort zone and just see how God has blessed them.
Yeah, I want to encourage you, you know, that so often people are intimidated by people that are different than them. But when you bring different folks together, they bring another part out of you that you couldn't bring out of yourself. It's sort of like when God says, when we come together and unify, then we can do more together than apart.
That's
and
right.
All that was inside of her. And he's sort of like the bulldozer, I think, that brings
it
back.
Do it. Yeah, why not? Why not now?
Yeah, and if you don't know personalities, he's more of a choleric sanguine, and she's more of a melancholy choleric.
Yep.
And so you have those two personalities working together. You can find out more details on The Torch. We're going to make all their things available to you at VFNTV.com. Click on The Torch, and it's all going to be available to get to it. And they have a program on HDTV.
Fixer Upper.
Fixer Upper.
From Waco, Texas.
From Waco, Texas. And they're literally renovating the entire Waco, Texas.
Yes.
You know, Waco, Texas used to be known for some other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And but now they're changing the whole impression. People are actually going to Waco from all around the place.
Wow.
It's amazing. Listen, I want to pray with you. Maybe you're thinking in your marriage, you're a little bit different, and see how different they are, but they're working together. They learn to focus on each other. Let them be who they were, is what they were. And all of a sudden, look what they did with their lives. I just want to pray for your marriage and just pray for your relationship and just ask God to bless you. Father God, I thank you for those that are watching right now. Lord, we just pray over their marriage and we pray a blessing over them, Lord God. They would begin to see the strengths in each other, Father God, and that they would learn to work together and unify, God. And I just pray for, Chip and Joanne. We just bless their ministry and their work and what they're doing. They're such a light in America, actually, to a lot of folks. And we appreciate their honest testimony, Father God, of you. And we just pray, like, Lord God, that you would just end abortion in this land, that you would send revival in this land, that you would send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.